I didn't come here to get sober. I didn't come to stop drinking. I had friends that were in AA, and I knew that they stopped drinking forever. Always. So if you're new and you just, this is the first time you heard that, you could, what? Because that's where, I knew that that was the deal in AA, but I also knew, and I'm pretty goddamn smart, you know, really. I think that whatever these 12 steps are, that I could probably pick 3 or 4 of them. I don't know what they were, but, you know, and apply those to my seriously cutting down. Because I needed to cut down. I had had a lot of problems in my drinking. I had just problems in life, you know, but every time I had a life problem, I was drinking. And it wasn't really a good test because I was always drinking. So if I was alive and awake and had a problem, I was drinking. So what I needed to do was to come here and listen carefully to you guys and these 12 steps, whatever they were, and apply 3 or 4 of them to my seriously cutting down. Because I was pretty sure, and I had no problem saying I'm an alcoholic. Actually, I was, years before, I was working as a stagehand in LA, stagehands union, and I was working at a company that built traveling sets for rock and roll shows. And I was working there as a welder and a steel worker. At the 10 o'clock a.m. break, I went to my toolbox and I got out a pint of Southern Comfort, poured some of my coffee, and I said to my partner, "Want some SoCo in your coffee?" And he was like, "Yeah." So I poured some for him and we drank our coffee and went back to work. About a half an hour later, I went back to my toolbox and I got that half pint out, another pint, and another pull. I said, "You want some more of this?" And he said, "No." I mean, it was, to him, it was unconscionable that you could have a little shot of whiskey at coffee break and then a half an hour later have another one. Hell, we're welding, you know? We could burn the place down. I mean, he didn't say that, but he said, "No." And I said, "Okay, more for me, you know." And he said, "Are you an alcoholic?" I said, "Yeah." That explains a lot, you know. Yeah. So from then on, I didn't have any problem saying I'm an alcoholic. I was like, people would say, "God damn, Doug, why do you drink so much?" "I'm an alcoholic." You know, what are they going to say? "You shouldn't be." You know, I could hear him talking. You know, he knows. He has awareness. You know, and let me tell you something. An alcoholic with awareness of his drinking is like a baby with a razor blade. You know, it could be useful in the right hands. For years, if somebody said, "Why you drink so much?" "I'm an alcoholic." So when I came to AA, you know, when it went around the room, "Doug, alcoholic. Anybody has had a drink in the last 30 days? Yeah, Doug, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Doug." You know, it's like, okay, I had no problem with that. The first meeting I went to, somebody said, "Do you have a big book?" I said, "You know, I got like an atlas thing, you know, it's about like this big. And then I got a Funkin' Wagnall dictionary. It's thick. It's big. It's as big as a Carl Jr. Diablo burger, you know." Why do you ask? "Well, because that's what we call our book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We call it the big book." Let's see it. That isn't even big. Yeah, we sell it at our cost. I think I'm going to steal mine. They got a bunch of them on a table over here. You know, I'll just steal it and walk out the door. The worst that could happen is somebody say, "Hey, where are you going with our book? Here, keep it. Or pay for it. How much is that book?" She said, it's $4.65. Do you have it? $4.65? Yeah. Do I look like I don't have $4.65? Yeah. Here's a $5. Keep the change. She said, no, I'll get your change. No, no, lady, keep the change. Use it to help a drunk, okay? Because I'm on my feet, all right? So I got my big book on the way home. I stopped and got a bottle of whiskey, and I got home, poured some whiskey, and started to read. I started to read this book. Not read it, skim it. Doctor's opinion. I've had doctor's opinions. You know, you really ought to not drink so much. Okay, thanks, doc. Chapter one, Bill's story. Who cares? Chapter two, there's a solution. Sales pitch. I'm sorry, there's a solution. Chapter three, more about alcoholism. Oh, my God. Hardly wait to get into that some night when I haven't got any sleeping pills. Chapter four is called We Agnostics. Ah, great. I know what that is. That has got to be how the smart people stay sober without God. Because I told you, I went to my first meeting, and I heard everybody say, I'm so grateful to God. I'm like, good for you, and your pointed little head, you know, because I'm a little too smart for all that God crap, you know. But everybody was talking about God, and then they read those steps, and they had a lot of God in them, you know, really couldn't find three or four that were going to help me cut down. See, my idea is to cut down where I can just have cold beer on a hot day, a glass of wine with dinner, you know, a little margarita with my enchilada, a little sake with my sushi, you know what I'm saying? Or sometimes chug a fifth of whiskey, you know, like, but just not all the time, and that's what I was doing. So I figured, we agnostics, this has got to be how the smart people stay sober. So I got out the book, poured another shot of whiskey, and started to read this. I must have missed the first paragraph that includes on page 44. If when you honestly want to, you find you can't quit drinking entirely, or once you start, you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably an alcoholic. Got that. I'm an alcoholic. That's why I drink so much. If this be the case, it goes on to say, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer. Yeah. Where's the smart people get sober stuff? So I'm going, well, what happens is, 2 pages later on page 46, a little sentence jumped off the page at me. It says, we found that God does not make too hard terms on those who seek him. Well, it occurred to me that every religion I ever heard of, at least Western religions, said we think God makes hard terms. And our terms are right, and their terms are wrong. In fact, we got the right terms. But every religion said that. You know, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, everybody said, you know, Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims, oh my, everybody thought they had the answers and everybody else was wrong. So I didn't listen to any of them. But my grandmother, who was a drunk who got sober when she found Jesus, became a Pentecostal minister, and their Pentecostal church never said, we don't think God makes hard terms. If anything, they said, you know, they called me, they said, you know, we are very sure God makes hard terms on those who seek him. You know, God will not even hear your prayers unless you're baptized, and I don't mean sprinkled on the forehead like some Methodist. Son, I'm talking about total submission. That's why we got a tank of water for Christ. Up here, come on up, son. We're going to soak you down, pull you up, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise Jesus. Somebody get this boy a towel. Keep your towel dry, man. I can't get wet in this room tonight. I got brand new Levi's on. Shrink to fit. But AA said, we are sure that God does not make hard terms on those who seek him. So I came back to AA. And eventually I got sober on June 7, 1987, and I just a few days ago celebrated 37 years of sobriety. Best decision I ever made.